Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm at Georgia Tech. Hey, guys, I got to ask. There's a bunch of people walking around with yellow headbands. What? Why?
Human versus zombies.
Alrighty. You want to explain that to me?
I would have to say the best game ever. We are trying to make this a Georgia Tech tradition, something that freshmen, even graduate students, can come and enjoy.
Dude, I sure hope you're in theater.
No, but I have been said I should be an actor.
All right, so how do I become a zombie? Why would I choose zombie over human?
Because it's a lot more fun, and you don't have to be very paranoid as you walk around campus.
You don't choose, you just like attack them.
This okay. is true.
Okay, so do I get initiated into the zombie club?
Initiation would probably be making the oath of the Om Nom Nom.
Give me the oath of the Om Nom Nom.
He's making things up.
Is he making it up?
He's making it up.
Well, you're a good maker-upper. Okay, tell me, how do I become a part of the zombie club?
Well, you just pretty much got to get tagged and devote your life to eating all humans possible.
I see. All right, gentlemen. Appreciate it very much. Zombie on.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
I'm Nom Nom.
Oh, God. I don't know if I'd be swearing in zombie. I don't want to necessarily do that. There's a dude eating a sandwich. Let's give it a go, shall we? Young man, keep eating. Don't stop. Keep walking. Can I? Ooh, dude, lots of peanut butter on that sandwich.
Yeah, that's good.
Rock on. Can I talk to you on the radio while you're eating?
Sure.
All right. How much protein is in peanut butter?
You want tablespoons or grams?
Do you know it?
No idea.
So why'd you ask? You're pulling my leg.
I could make a guess and something.
I'm going to ask you a philosophical question. Maybe you'd consider it a religious question. You ready?
Sure. Can I ask what radio?
Yes, Wretched Radio. In my shirt. We're so big, we've even got shirts.
Awesome.
Because nobody else could make shirts like this.
Is it like a talk radio? Or
yes, sir, it is. Nope, talk.
What do you guys talk about usually?
This stuff.
Okay.
Here it is. You ready? You can ask God one question. What is it?
When is it over so all these people can stop suffering? Because I believe in God. And
suffering's a tough one.
And I think there's a lot of people, good people, that are suffering a lot because there's a lot of bad people. And God lets bad people make their choices. And so that's part of life. That's part of us having to live here. But I would like to know when they get to stop suffering.
Okay, because you don't like suffering.
Hi. You know.
Do you think that anybody deserves suffering?
No, I think lots of people deserve learning. And what I mean by that is lots of people do bad things because they obviously don't understand something about life or about, I don't know.
Who's your God?
My father. I call him Heavenly Father.
Okay. Is he the only God?
Yeah.
So you are a Christian?
I am a Christian.
All right.
I'm a Mormon, if you must know.
I guessed that when you said Father God. Because that's Mormon lingo, correct?
Oh, I don't know. I think lots of the Catholic Church calls him the Father. I mean, the scriptures
is
called
Father. You're right. But like that's kind of... I'm an evangelical, and we've got our own little lingo.
Sure, it's a little... I mean, the way we talk about it is different. I think it's the same person, but sure.
So do you think that Christians and Mormons believe in the same God?
For sure. I think there's only one God.
Okay, so it's the same one. How different would my understanding of God need to be from yours for us to be believing in different gods?
How different would it need to be?
Yeah. Okay, let's say that I believe that God is a big-nosed clown.
So here's a question, though. You're saying that then there's different gods. Your point is there is only one.
Okay.
So whether or not we understand him perfectly, and there's lots of different religions that understand him differently, that's fine. But I believe there's one truth. So
I agree.
Whether or not I'm right, I don't know. You know, well, I have my beliefs.
Let me try this. I'll qualify it. You are correct. You tagged me, and that's good. Okay. Let's say that I believe Jesus was... I call my God Jesus,
sure.
But I really think that he appears as Bozo the Clown on a TV show in Chicago. Would I be wrong in my understanding of Jesus?
I would think so. And the reason why is because I don't think that matches scripturally what he's done throughout all time in history.
Okay. So if I believe in Jesus a different way, mm-hmm. then you, one of us, would be wrong. Correct?
Yeah, well, maybe both of us, right? I mean, that's maybe neither of us are understanding completely what we should.
That would be a possibility. Okay, so with that, if I understand Jesus differently enough, there must be a line someplace.
Sure.
We've identified him being a clown, putting on a TV show in Chicago, is over that line. How's about the line of eternality? The always existence of Jesus. Would that be a big enough distinction between the two of us for one of us to be wrong?
Sure.
Okay.
I think that's an important principle, that he's always existed. Yeah.
Do you believe that Jesus is always existing?
Yeah.
That's not Mormon doctrine.
Yes, it is.
Jesus is created from the Father.
No, we believe Jesus always existed. Always, always. Positive. We believe that God has always been, and we believe that Jesus Christ, his son, because that's how scriptures talk about him, as his son. Mm-hmm. And
do you believe that God was always God?
I believe that God was always my father.
No, was he always God?
What do you mean by God? Can you define God for me?
Sure, the entity that we're talking about.
Yeah, I believe he's always been who he was. Okay, who he is has not changed, ever.
So the Mormon statement, help me out then, because this is different. The Mormon statement that says, as Father now is, we too can be, indicates that he wasn't always God. He had to attain God's status, and now he's created you, and you too can you can attain God-like status.
So what I do believe is that we can become like our Father, yes. And I know
so
the statement
you can become
you're talking
about God too.
I know the statement you're talking about,
yes.
In terms of the fact that as God once was, man may become. I know the quote very well. Do I understand everything about what God was or where he came from? No, I don't think anybody does, actually. I don't think anybody can tell me, even if you believe he's existed from eternity, what has he been doing for eternity? I don't think anybody can answer that question.
So
if I can finish, sir.
Yes, sir.
I would say, though, that I really believe that it makes no sense for a father, a loving father, to send his children to earth for no reason. I believe he sent us here for a schooling, to teach us, to help us learn and grow, and to hopefully, one day, help us become like him. So that he can give us, and you talked about becoming gods. Do I believe that one day we'll be able to create as he creates? If we do what we're supposed to here on earth and learn what we're supposed to? I do. I really believe that.
So you know, because you know what you're talking about, that I, as an evangelical, believe something different than you.
Sure,
do.
Yeah, I know that.
Do you think I'm wrong?
Wrong's a hard statement. I think we have differing opinions.
I won't be offended.
No, so here's the thing. I've prayed about it. And I felt like the Holy Spirit has come into my heart and told me that these things are true. I can't tell you that you're a liar. I don't believe that. I believe that you believe what you're doing.
But you believe I'm wrong. You must. Otherwise, you believe what I believe.
Right? Or I don't know what you believe, right? There's two options.
Here's what I believe.
Sure.
I believe that Jesus was always the Son. God is a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Always existed.
And
always
one,
in, always in one God. Three distinct persons.
Okay, sure.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All equally God.
Mm-hmm.
Same level, different roles, but same God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? Jesus Christ came to this earth not to make it possible for us to get to heaven, but to secure heaven for us by dying on a cross. And if we'll repent and put our trust in him, he will forgive us completely. Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast.
Sure. But you know, the interesting thing is that I think this is the big difference, and I know this difference, is that we believe in grace. I believe that there's nothing I can do in this life that will save me. Nothing. In the end, it's like a little kid who can put together a few cents to buy a bike.
You do your best, Jesus does the rest.
And that's exactly it. But the scriptures are very clear as well that they say...
Hold on one second. I want to make just one point.
Faith without works is dead.
Okay, right. But I don't believe that same thing.
Okay.
I think everything that I do is bad, and Jesus has done it all. Not the rest. He's done it all.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
And we have a different understanding about Jesus. So one of us is wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Now, if I'm wrong about this, I don't beat my children. I take care of my family, and I pay my taxes.
I agree.
If I died and I'm wrong, I've done my best and Jesus will do the rest. I'm in pretty good shape. I don't know if I'll go to celestial, or terrestrial, but I'll be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Okay? If you die and you're wrong, and your understanding of Jesus is wrong, and you have been trying to contribute to salvation, or your understanding of Jesus is different than the one that I believe the Bible presents, because you have a wrong understanding, you would be in big trouble.
Really?
You would go to hell because you've been believing in the wrong God.
I'm sorry. I don't believe that.
Well, you should read First John.
Can I explain why?
I actually know why. You should read First John and Second John.
No, why I don't agree.
I know you don't. But here's what I'm trying to present.
I don't think you know why, sir.
Well, I'm trying to position it this way, okay? If Jesus is very clear on how he wants to be understood, not as a created being in any way, shape, or form,
I agree.
And then it's complete forgiveness of sins.
I'm sorry. I agree that he wants to be understood. So go ahead.
Rightly. And if you believe in the wrong type of Christ or the wrong Christ, 1 John 2 and 2 John makes it clear you don't have the Father, you don't have forgiveness. If I'm wrong, I'm okay according to your beliefs. If you're wrong, according to my beliefs, you have been worshiping a false God.
So for the vast majority of humanity, which would you want it to be? Do you want to damn everybody? Is that what you're saying?
It's not what I want. It's what the Bible says.
See, I don't agree. I believe
that
the Bible...
Like,
well, let me tell you why. I believe
Let me take a break. We'll come back. Fair enough?
Sure.
Commercials, how this works.
Well, I've got to go, but I believe God loves us. And the damning all his children is not what God is about. So
nobody goes to hell.
No, I don't believe that. But I believe that God does not want to damn most of his children, and that he will make a way that most of his children will be able to come back to him.
Okay,
Jesus.
So when Jesus said broad is the
through
road
the
that leads to destruction, narrow is the way
Christ.
That leads to life, and few find it. What was he talking about?
He's talking about eternal life, which is what we talked about earlier, returning to God's presence.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that he hasn't prepared a place. He also says, in my Father's house there are many mansions.
Okay, and so bottom line, if I'm wrong, I'm okay. If you're wrong, big trouble. Fair enough?
If you think so.
All right.
I don't believe that's what those scriptures are saying.
I appreciate the chat.
Have a wonderful day.
Goodbye, my Mormon friend. Goodbye. Bye-bye. We'll continue on Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Have you ever wanted to take a tour of Europe, but you couldn't swing the airfare? Good news. Todd Friel's already gone for you. Our resource on the Shoulders of Giants takes you across 6 countries to meet your Christian ancestors, the Reformers, the men who were strangled, quartered, and burned alive so you could hold a Bible in your own language and understand the gospel of grace. On the Shoulders of Giants, it is streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Simply visit fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know, we've raised a generation of kids who can sing every word about Jesus, but they still can't say why the Bible is true. And the world, well, they've earned that because they've spent years teaching our children that truth bends and that science outgrew God. That's exactly what the series Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle was built for. It's a biblical formation for a generation that needs answers. New episodes of Irrefutable Proof of Creation streaming right now and dropping weekly on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org. Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool. It's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org. Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected. expected it to. Ratchet Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Boosnitz tackle 22 more issues through a biblical lens. Ratchet Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. God called the prophet Jonah to preach repentance in Nineveh. Jonah fled, but he could not outrun God. He was cast into the sea and swallowed by a great fish. Jonah repented, and God spared him. Jonah then preached in Nineveh, and they repented. God is compassionate and merciful, and he is calling men from all nations to repentance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here's my question. I'm asking people one question today. Ready? If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
I guess it would be, why are we here?
Okay. You don't know?
Not really. I mean, there are answers. Every religion has an answer. People, even non-religious people, think they have answers. But when it comes down to it, we don't really know what we're doing here or why we're here.
Are you a postmodern? Do you know what that means?
Sort of, not...
Would basically say God exists, Western mindset.
Yeah.
The Bible reveals who he is.
Mm-hmm.
The modern mindset would say, this whole God thing, I think humans have the answers. I think that humanity has the answer, and so it's the age of reason, empiricism. If we can verify it, test, make sure that it's actually there, then it's there. Otherwise, it's not there. That kind of ended, let's call it 1989, with the fall of the Berlin Wall, when we recognized, man sure doesn't seem to have the answer. The 20th century was the bloodiest century of all time. We seem to have made a hash of it. And the conclusion is, nobody has the corner on truth. Your truth is your truth, and it's valid. My truth, even though it's completely different than your truth, is equally valid. We believe something completely different than one another, but we're both correct. That would be a postmodern. Would that describe you?
Yeah, I would say so. I always sort of think no human can know an absolute truth. Like, so well, I guess
you just, but you just made one.
How so?
You just made an absolute truth statement. No human can. I believe you are an evangelical born again Christian. Am I wrong?
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay. Then that's going contra. So somebody is wrong. Somebody can be wrong. They can believe it, but they're just wrong.
Well,
okay, so let me give this a go. I believe that Jesus is God. Am I wrong?
I would say no.
So you believe Jesus is God?
Yeah.
You do? So you're a Christian?
Yeah.
I'm a little confused. You said before we don't know what our purpose is. Isn't the purpose of a Christian to glorify God and enjoy him forever?
I'm saying just life in general. If you were to look at it without the benefit of religion, like, how would you interpret why we're here?
What do you think your purpose is?
Right now, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where my life is going exactly.
Not what job. Overall, you exist to blank.
Well, I think in general, everyone exists to sort of make the world a better place. I mean, and like I said, I don't know if that's really why we're here, but I would like to believe that's why we're here.
That sounds more like the theology of Coca-Cola than it does Christianity. Make the world a better place so that everybody can get along. Christianity would say it's to glorify God, to give him what he deserves because he's our owner and he's our creator and he's our savior.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you become a Christian?
I was born into it, I guess, so.
Okay, here. So do you believe it, really?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, how does a fellow like me get to heaven if I'm not a Christian?
I don't think you have to be a Christian to get to heaven. I think if you do what you can to help others, I mean, not everyone's going to think what's right is the same thing that's right, but I guess on a religious stance, what's right, if you do that, I think that's what it really takes to get to heaven.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I would like to. I try to be a good person.
Have you told lies in your life?
Yes, I have.
Stolen anything?
Nothing major I can think of.
It doesn't matter the object. It doesn't matter the value. The idea is what's behind it.
The act of stealing?
The act of stealing. Not what you steal. That's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Not impressive to God. If it's $1 million or $1, but you've stolen. Mm-hmm. Have you lusted? Had sexual thoughts in your mind about women that...
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Okay. Because that's another commandment, If you lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I try not to.
But you have.
I suppose so, yeah.
So that doesn't sound like a good person to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, that's the, like, a big point of human life is the fact that we aren't perfect, that we try, I think the point of our life is to strive to be a good person. Not okay. And we're not always going to
imagine a criminal standing before a judge who's broken the laws, mm-hmm. and he says, but judge, I've tried. The judge says, I don't care. I'm not interested in your trying. It has nothing to do with your crimes. You've broken the laws. I must uphold justice. I must give you what you deserve, what you've earned for yourself. Mm-hmm. That's justice, and our good deeds have no bearing on our case. So if you've broken God's laws, like everybody else, that would make you a bad person like everybody else, wouldn't it?
I mean, if you looked at strictly like that, then yeah. But really, it's not a black and white issue. You can't say that, you've broken it and then you're a bad person, or you haven't broken it and you're a good
sure.
person.
Sure, it's real easy. If a fellow, let's say that guy underneath the tree raped a woman, mm-hmm. would you consider him to be a good person or a bad person?
I would say bad.
Okay, you, one act, you're a criminal. The end. Mm-hmm. It's black and white. You lie, you're a liar. You steal, you're a thief.
But I think that's the difference between the world we live in and really the world of religion.
Wait, I want to reason with you, okay? Mm-hmm. You and I see a rapist and we go, that's really nasty. Mm-hmm. Because this is our perspective. We're about this tall in our morality and we look down and things get more and more scummy in yeah. our eyes. But God's perspective is way above ours. He's way holier. So he looks down and he sees lying and stealing as huge atrocities because of his perspective. You and I get turned off when something gets really disgusting to us. God gets turned off at things that we don't think are very bad because he has a higher perspective than we do. So lying to him is an abomination. Taking his name in vain is an atrocious thing to do because his perspective is so high and so holy. That's what the Bible teaches, that all sin and we all fall short of his standard. And what we've earned for ourselves is wrath. That's what we've earned. And while we think we're good compared to, well, pretty much everybody else on this campus, compared to God's standard, and that's the only standard that matters, we're bad people. So God must give people what they deserve because he's just. But there's something inside of you that is, I can see it in your eyes, you're going, that means everybody's going to hell. It means everybody should go to hell. That's what we've all deserved. There's nobody on this campus or anywhere in the world who hasn't lied or lusted or was snotty to their parents, took his name in vain. That's what we've all earned for ourselves. But there's also something inside of you that says, that is depressing. And is that all there is to God, just justice? Nope, he has other attributes. He's kind and he's merciful. But here's the dilemma. He's got to give you what you deserve. Because if he turns a blind eye to justice, he would no longer be just and holy. And he can't do that. But he's also a loving God, and he loves you. Despite your crimes against him, he loves you. So here's the tension. God's got to give you wrath, but he wants to give you mercy. Mm-hmm. To satisfy both, so he can show you mercy, wrath had to be poured out on somebody. You or somebody else. Who did God pour his wrath out on so that you could be forgiven and he could show mercy to you? Who did God pour his wrath out on so you don't have to go to hell?
But see, the thing is, I may like logic, but I don't think it works that way. I mean, whenever we think of God, we sort of anthropomorphize God. We think, oh, God is like a human but perfect. But that's not true. We can't say that. We can't apply these human ideas to God.
That's justice. His standard must be much higher. Okay, here's the question, though, all right? Mm-hmm. Who, according to the Bible, took the punishment of God on your behalf so that God's wrath and his justice could be satisfied, so that you could be forgiven and go to heaven because he loves you?
Well, Jesus, by dying on the cross.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, that either happened or it didn't. Mm-hmm. That's either the way or it's not. And there's either forgiveness available to you or there's not. Mm-hmm. As a Christian, that's our hope. That's why we love our God. Mm-hmm. He died for us so that we could be reconciled to him, so that he could satisfy justice because he's just, but so he could show mercy. He died in your place. And Jesus did become a man because we needed a representative, but he's also God, so that the sacrifice would be acceptable to the Father. Christianity offers you complete forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. It's either true or it's not, that presentation. All I can do is ask you today to think about that. It's so important, because if you died, and what I'm saying to you is truth, God will thrash you. Every secret sin that you've done in darkness will be brought into the light. He's not going to let anybody get away with anything. His justice is that thorough because he's that good. But he offers you mercy. This is a good God we're talking about. Somebody who loves you so much, he died for you so that you could be forgiven. It's an act of kindness. And if you've never understood it in that terms, I beg you to think about it that way. This isn't a threat, turn or burn. That'll happen to you. If you don't turn, you will burn. But that's not what God is in. He doesn't want to threaten you to follow him. He loves you, and he said, I died for you. Come, follow me. It's an act of kindness. You should repent and trust Jesus, not to escape hell, but because he's been so kind to rescue you from hell. The Bible says you must repent and put your trust in Jesus and him alone, and he will adopt you then into his family, and he'll grant you everlasting life so that he can get praised for all of eternity for being such a good God. The question is, why are you here? To glorify God. And here's how he wants to do that. He wants to save you so that he can point to you for forever and go, if anybody wants to know how good I am, I saved that rat from Georgia Tech. I took a worm and I made him my son. And I've granted him everlasting life. That's how good I am. That's your purpose in life. It's to get saved so that God can be glorified in your life. Would you ponder that today?
Sure.
Something to think about as we walk around.
All right,
man. Hey, right. Thanks for the chat.
No problem.
Goodbye. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.